In your bulletin, you have a sheet. It should say 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Now, I'm not going to read all of that to you. I'm just going to say you can go home or you can read it here. I don't care when. But, you know, if you want to read the scripture that I'll be talking about this morning, that's what it is. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Marty, you want to put up the psalm for me? I'd like for you, I'm going to come down here because I can't see the backboard that well. I can see this one. So I'd like for you to read this psalm with me as a prayer. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. And it's Psalm 150, verse 1. How often do you praise the Lord? How often do you say that to yourself or to someone else? Praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for praise the Lord is?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. That's it. Hallelujah. Different ways to say that. I've got a video I want you to see. It's been on the YouTube for quite a while. I didn't even know the song existed. This song was written by a Hebrew writer by the name of Leonard Cohen. It is sang by several Hebrew young people, young adults. If you look at them carefully, you'll notice something about them. The song is in Hebrew. But the word I want you to understand is the one you want to already know, so when you hear it, you'll know it, okay? Listen to the music and watch them as they sing. Go ahead, Marty, play it, please.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Since it was in Hebrew, you couldn't tell if it was a worship song or not. In a sense, it might be, but it's more of a secular song. But the praise of God is always worship. And you heard those young people say praise the Lord many, many times in that song. How often do you say praise the Lord? How often do you say hallelujah and mean it? All of those young people were part of the Israeli Defense Force, which kind of makes that interesting that it was such a hit. If Israel is attacked, those young people and many others will come to their defense. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David was king of Israel. Remember which king he was? He was the second king of Israel. The first one was Saul. Now, David composed many of the psalms that appear in the Old Testament. And some of those songs he played for Saul to calm Saul, the king, down. When Saul died, David became king of Israel. Praise the Lord. Who gets in your way of praising the Lord? That's something to ask yourself on occasion. If you're angry with God or with someone on earth, can you really say praise the Lord? Or do you struggle with that? A lot of angry people out there anymore. Election's coming up, and there's going to be even more. The question this morning is not who's going to win. The question is, can you say, praise the Lord? irregardless of what happens, can you say, praise the Lord? That song, in the first part of that song, says this: well, I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The baffled king composing that. What baffled King David? What baffled him as king? You know, as a young man, he was a killer of giants. Remember the giant he killed? If I remember. Goliath. David hit him right here with a rock from his slingshot. Goliath fell to the ground. David ran up, took his big old sword, Goliath's big old sword, and chopped his head off. Not a very pretty picture. But he killed him. The broken king composing hallelujah. What broke him? What can break you? Who was God's prophet at the time David was king? It was Nathan. If you read 2 Samuel, you can read about this. Nathan is his prophet. Nathan came to see David on three important occasions, maybe more, but the Bible talks about three. The first time he comes to see King David is to tell David, you're not going to build the temple. You're going to worship in the tent, the tabernacle, and whoever comes after you will build the temple. David says, okay. Solomon is the one who builds the temple. The second time Nathan comes to David is the time I want to bring to your attention. And then I'll mention the third time. But the second time Nathan the prophet comes to David, God sends him. Nathan comes to David and says, David, there were two men in a town. Anytime the prophet's going to tell you a story, you'd best listen, because a story has a spiritual meaning to it, maybe even a prophecy about history to it. David, there were two men in a city. One was a poor man, one was a rich man. The rich man had many sheep and many cattle. The poor man took what he had and he bought one little ewe lamb. I hadn't realized county fair was going on. But sheep and lambs and goats and things like that are, I think, probably still exhibited there. This poor man had one little ewe lamb. In case you don't know anything about livestock, a ewe lamb is a female lamb. And when she grows up, she may have sheep for her owner. Okay? Little ewe lamb. The prophet tells King David, he says, this little lamb was like a member of his family, like a daughter to him. You have a dog or a cat that's that way to you? Maybe you do. Maybe you even have a little lamb that's that way to you. My brother did. My brother Rob had a lamb. And that lamb would follow him anywhere and everywhere he went. Even after my brother left home and would come back, that she was an old ewe lamb, she'd still follow him. He was special to her. Nathan goes on with his story, and he said, the rich man took the poor man's ewe lamb, and what did he do to it? He butchered it. He killed it, and he cooked it, and he fed it to a merchant who came to his house. Didn't even take from his own livestock, took the poor man's one lamb. And David, who had been a shepherd, was angry by what he had heard. And David says, as surely as the Lord lives, he deserves to die. Then he calms down a little bit and he says, he's going to have to pay four times what that little lamb was worth. Then the prophet looks at David. He says, David, you're the man. You're the one who has done this terrible thing. The prophet really wasn't talking about sheep and lambs. He was talking about human beings. And the way we sometimes behave. David, you are the man. And David knew what he'd done. He wasn't stupid. He could put this together and say, uh-oh, I know. Did you ever know that God knows what you do? He knows all about you. He knows what you have done, what you have said, and why you did it or said it. Well, I didn't mean to be cruel when I said that. Well, then why did you even say it? God knows the heart, the intent of it. Earlier in the scripture in Samuel, it says, it was springtime. And David was king, and kings do what in the spring? They go to war. They still do that. Weather gets good, you go to war. You really don't want to fight a war in the winter. So you wait till it warms up. Then you send your young people off like the ones in the video to fight and die for you. So David sent out Joab, his general, and David sends out his young people, and he says, you defeat the Ammonites, and you besiege the city of Rabbah. Joab was a great general. Joab did just what the king asked him to do. He does that. Where's David? Well, David's staying home in his palace. His palace used to be Saul's palace, but God gave it to him. So David's in the palace, and he wakes up from his, are you ready for this, his nap. He's had a long afternoon nap, and he wakes up, and he goes out on the roof of his palace, and he looks around. And behold, a beautiful woman who is at her home outside, and she is taking a bath. And I'm going to tell you, David's a dirty old man. There's no question about that. If you read the story, he sends his servants out, and he says, find out who she is. And the servant comes back, and the servant says, she is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Married woman. Uriah is in the king's army. Uriah is outside of Rabbah fighting enemy. For a long time, they didn't know where the Hittites lived. In my lifetime, they have finally found out. The Hittites lived in what is now called Turkey. So if you wonder where they were, that's where they were, and they had a powerful empire there for a while. And he was from those people. Well, David has Bathsheba brought to him, and they have sex together, and he sends her home. And time goes on. Days click by. And all of a sudden, King David gets Bathsheba, and guess what it is? I'm pregnant. And there's a problem. Because Uriah hasn't been home. So he could not be the father of her child. So David the king sends word to Joab the general and says, send Uriah home. So Uriah comes home. And he goes and sees the king, and the king says, how's the war going? Truth is, that's the least of his concerns. But how's the war going? Uriah tells him how the war is going. And David feeds him and gives him some wine and says to him, go home to your wife. Go home to your wife. He and Bathsheba want to trick Uriah into thinking that her pregnancy is Uriah's. But Uriah is an honorable man. His comrades in arms can't come home. He's not going home. Instead of going home, he goes and lays down on the steps of the palace and he sleeps outside there at night. Soldiers do a lot of that. Next morning, King David realized what had not happened and what had happened, and he sends for Uriah to come back. And so David gets him good and drunk and full of food and says, go home to your wife. And Uriah is a little too tight to walk home, so he collapses on the palace steps and he spends the night there. And David realizes Uriah's not going to go home to his wife. He's drunk and he's full of food and he's not going to go home. He's not going to go home any other time. So David sends Uriah back to the battle. Now, stop there for a moment. What sins have Uriah and Bathsheba committed? What of Moses' law have they disobeyed? Adultery is the first one that comes to mind. And the other one is David has coveted somebody else's wife. And he took her to be his own. Uriah gets back to the battle. And David says, you put him in the front line. Where the fighting is going to be the fiercest on that day. And then, while the battle's going on, you call the other troops out. And he's there by himself. And so Joab orders that. Battle starts, Uriah is in the front line fighting. Everybody else leaves but Uriah. What happens to Uriah the Hittite? What you expect would happen. He dies. So now to their sin, David and Bathsheba, especially David, has added the sin of murder. And when Nathan tells the story about the ewe lamb. David knows that's what the prophet's talking to him about. He knows, God knows what he has done. And when he said that man deserves to die, yes, he does. According to the law of Moses, he deserved to die. You done anything that you deserve to die for? And if you had, what you going to do about it? You'd better do what David did. And you'd better repent and apologize to God for your, what? Sin. I'd better do the same. Remember the song, The Broken King, composing hallelujah, praise God. My Bible says that David repented of his sin. But it also says some pretty other tragic things. See, sin leads to tragedy. Whether it's your sin, my sin, or some king's sin, it leads to tragedy at times. Even when you repent of it, it at times leads to tragedy. God's not a magician. God is God. The baby that Bathsheba is carrying will be born after Uriah is dead and buried. David brings Bathsheba to his home, to his palace, and makes her a queen. She has her baby, and with some little time, the baby, what? Dies. No matter what David says, no matter how much David prays for the child, it dies. In your bulletin, there are some questions you might think about in the hours ahead. Pray to God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, is what our scripture says to us. And that's true. Maybe we haven't committed adultery, maybe we haven't committed murder, but we have sinned. And in God's eyes, one sin is as bad as the next one. We don't look at it that way, but God does. That's why God sent a Savior whose name is Jesus, His Son, to save us. And how dare we refuse His Son? The Bible says to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you will be. Praise God. As a believer in the Christ, you don't have to worry about judgment day. Christ will say to His Father, you're mine. And you are. And you are. I said that Nathan came to King David three times. The third time he comes to King David is to make somebody else king. And guess who it is? It is Solomon, the next child of David and Bathsheba. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? God's mercy and God's grace. See, David had another son who wanted to take his throne, and God said, he's not going to get it. So before David dies, Nathan pronounces Solomon king. Trust God. And when God says something's wrong, try to pay attention and try to respond to Him. Sometimes we struggle with that, but keep trying. Christ is King. He is Lord. He is Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary out of love for you and me, and love and wonder for His Father. Things got so bad when Jesus was hanging on the cross that God turned His back on His Son because He took all of our sin on Himself. Praise God. Say praise the Lord once in a while. Say hallelujah once in a while, because Jesus Christ and God the Father love you, and they have done a wonderful work for you. And they do that every day, even when you may not feel it, they do. Shall we stand together and have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank You for this day, for this opportunity to look into Your precious word and to recall it and to tell it. As we prepare to sing the hymn of invitation, we ask that Your Spirit would envelop us and that You would bless us in Jesus' name. If anyone is here for the first time to confess to Christ, you're invited to do so. If you wish to come forward and pray, please do so. For Father, as You forgave David, You forgive us. And David's sins were huge, but he was forgiven. And in Christ Jesus, we have been forgiven, and we are to follow the Christ. Forgive us when we fail to do so. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. I think the hymn is what, 366? Okay.